As you just heard, the New South Wales health system is already being severely stress tested. But how are we all going to cope once restrictions are significantly eased and cases rise? Dr. Greg Kelly is a paediatrician and ICU specialist working at one of Sydney's busiest hospitals. And he says we must learn from the mistakes of countries overseas to develop a plan that will keep us safe without impinging too much on our freedoms. Think pubs, schools and cafes. He's one of 50 preeminent experts that have formed a new advisory group called AusSage, which aims to deliver non-partisan, independent advice on living with COVID. I spoke to him earlier.
As you've correctly pointed out, there is a lot of strain in New South Wales right now, and you know, both the Premier and the Chief Medical Officer have pointed out that it's actually expected to get somewhat worse before it gets better. What we have seen everywhere in the world, even with places with much higher vaccination rates than Australia now, is that if there's premature relaxation of the mitigation measures that keep COVID under control, that can result in a severe strain in the health system, even with high vaccination rates. So the UK, for example, which, as everyone knows, has much higher vaccination rates than Australia, is still seeing 100 to 150 deaths per day, still seeing substantial numbers of patients in ICU, and still seeing a sizable number of people who are going to go on to have what we call long COVID, where they're expected to have symptoms for months or even years.
Yeah, so clearly we want to avoid that scenario, and the federal government says that's the national plan to actually not have a freedom day, to not throw the doors open, if you like, but to put in place sensible mitigation measures. What is that going to look like?
So what's becoming clear around the world is that as well as vaccines, we need what's called a vaccines plus strategy. So they're the things that we are familiar with, like test, trace, isolate and quarantine, as well as improvements in the ventilation and indoor air quality, especially in public buildings. So schools, shared apartment buildings, public transport, anywhere that we share the air with other people. We now know that COVID is an airborne virus. And so anytime where someone has COVID in a space, they can literally breathe it out and we can breathe it in. It really is that simple.
We've seen Victoria announce a raft of measures to make schools as safe as possible today. Ventilation assessments, air quality monitors and HEPA filters for the classroom. Do we need to see all states look at similar measures?
Definitely applaud that. I think it's a really courageous step. Obviously, it's going to cost money, but it's an investment in the health of our children and the health of our society. I note that the New South Wales parliamentary reopening plan is also very similar. So they have upgraded the ventilation in Parliament to 8 air exchanges per hour. They're using rapid antigen testing. They're mandating vaccines. And so we do have a couple of models about how we can improve the safety and the health of our indoor spaces. And I think that we, over the next couple of weeks to months, we will see similar announcements around Australia to those along those measures.
It seems pretty clear that people's tolerance for restrictions, COVID restrictions, is waning.
Yep.
So with the restrictions that you're talking about, are there things that we can do away with so that people can be reassured that, we're going to be able to go to the pub, for example. We're going to be able to have breakfast at a cafe.
Absolutely everyone in the country is looking forward to the lifting of restrictions in terms of things that limit our freedoms, limit our ability to travel, limit our ability to meet with loved ones and just do those things that make life enjoyable. And so while there are some things that are, of course, horribly disruptive, like, border closures and lockdowns, things like improvement in ventilation and air filtration in buildings are not things that people will even notice. And we've all found, again, over the last 18 months, that masks in public areas are one of those things that we'd never thought about, but most people have found that they can wear, including children, without too much trouble, and that have also proven highly effective when there's circulating virus at reducing the amount of virus that gets around. COVID is going to be with us for quite a long time. We don't think, even with high vaccination rates, that we'll be able to get rid of all mitigations, at least in the medium term. But let's all be, as well as being honest, let's be smart about what works the most effectively and is the least intrusive and the least disruptive so that we can get back to our best life as quickly as possible.
So you've joined with other esteemed colleagues to form a new advisory group, AusSage. We do have a lot of institutes right now talking about COVID and mitigation, and the government says it has already all the best health advice. Why is AusSage needed?
So this group is certainly not an attempt to replace or to supersede any of the other forms of advice. But what we felt was lacking, or what was needed in Australia, was a group that got everyone together. AusSage is an attempt to get 50 of those diverse people together in the one place who can robustly debate the best way forward for Australia. We can provide advice to governments and other bodies around the world, which will be independent, non-biased, and we can update that advice with the best information from our connections all around the world as we learn more.
That's paediatrician Dr. Greg Kelly.